Morphin Legacy presents The Grid.
Howdy, Ranger Nation. This is Shatter A22, Vice President of MorphinLegacy.com, welcoming you to episode 153 of The Grid, which we have titled, Morphin Masters Did It.
Chiley, Morphin Masters Did It.
They're watching all the great stuff.
Watch the Power Rangers like a soap opera or something.
They didn't watch the live show because even they wouldn't degrade themselves to watching that like we did.
Oh no, they have taste. We do not.
We like trash. Joining me in this episode is Austin.
Hi.
And Amber had to work the day we're recording this, so she's sitting this one out. But before we get into today's news, we'd like you to remind you all to follow us on Twitter at TheGridPR and check out our link tree for a master list of all the places you can find us. And with that,
let's go ahead and get the shit started. So first up is Morphin Legacy announcements. The Morphin Legacy Megazords of the month for May, my birthday month, are the Megazords from Power Rangers Time Force. Yay, it's what I deserve.
Yeah, and that's why the Time Force Zords are for May.
Oh yes, it is what I deserve. So be sure to check out the Time Force Zord section in the Morphin Legacy database. Spoiler alert, they're ugly. And you can watch their tribute video, Throwback Thursday clips, on the Morphin Legacy YouTube channel.
Alrighty, so on to Dinobites. Num num. Or more like a
little chicken nugget. Just a tiny one. Like the chicken nugget crumb at the bottom of the box.
Or more like a dino nibble. Yum, yum. Alrighty, so Olivia Tennant, better known as Dr. K from RPM, was seen on the set of Power Rangers Dino Fury via her Instagram.
Yes, honey.
So what is that about? We are either getting Dr. K coming back for an episode of Dino Fury, or she's choreographing another musical number.
Oh, please! I mean, first of all, why not both? That's what Beast Morphers did.
Because she was the choreographer for Great to Be Human.
Okay, take Great to Be Human, serve us 15. Like, give me a full Power Rangers musical episode, please. I ask for so little.
I don't think they could fit 15 musical numbers into a 23-minute episode.
Did I say 15 musical numbers?
You said shove 15 of those into...
No. I said take Great to Be Human, but dial it up to 15.
Oh, okay.
Serve me. I mean, fucking Steven Universe did a musical episode, and that's like an 11-minute episode, and there's, what, 5 songs in that?
True.
Just saying.
I would love a musical episode, but I feel like most of the fandom wouldn't because there's a lot of people that didn't like Great to Be Human.
That's because this fandom is homophobic and gross. And if you're listening to this, yeah, I'm talking about you, sweaty.
Okay, so on to movie news. There was an announcement of an announcement. That's it.
They were like, yeah, hi, we're making a movie and a series and it's going on streaming, quote unquote, soon.
A streaming platform.
They were so vague.
Which made people assume that Hasbro is making their own streaming service.
Would not surprise me. Although it's weird because I feel like that doesn't really make sense because Hasbro, their feature films are produced by Paramount. So why would they not go to Paramount Plus? Not like anything is on fucking Paramount Plus. So they need content.
I kind of feel like that deal kind of fell through when they bought E1 because E1's a film production studio. So everything's being produced under Hasbro is going there now. So
True. I don't know. Studios are stupid.
Yeah. But I mean, Hasbro is all in for making their own, like, Marvel-esque, Disney-esque studio now.
Feed it to me, as long as the designs are good.
There's expected movies, a connected TV series, we're probably still gonna get adaptations, animated series, so diversify.
Let's go.
Let's go, Haney. Alright, so video game updates.
There is no news, you guys.
Yes. Very little news this episode. So on to Battle for the Grid updates. The Crimson Hawk Ranger and the Blue Phoenix Ranger have been added to Battle for the Grid.
Oh, sorry, what was that?
I don't care about these Street Fighter Rangers.
I don't give a shit.
They're cool in concept, but I don't care.
Here's where I'm at. The designs of the Rangers Street Fighter styled, inspired, whatever, that's something. The next one, girl, what?
Yeah, we also got a Ryu Class of 93 skin, which is pretty much just Ryu in a leather jacket and flannel shirt wrapped around his waist.
Why?
I don't know. This is a new skin, by the way. This wasn't in Legacy Wars.
Do you know how many Rangers are not in Battle for the Grid and we're getting this shit first? Same.
Priorities, I guess.
On to miscellaneous news. Reebok is making Mighty Morphin themed sneakers. So we got red, blue, yellow, and pink because everyone hates Zach, I guess.
If you made black shoes, that's nothing special.
They can still be Mastodon inspired or something. I don't know. Also, it is interesting how there's not really a clear design on these, if that makes sense. They're literally all different.
I guess they want everyone to collect them all, I guess. Maybe if they were the same kind of shoes, people wouldn't be rolling in getting the...
Well, that's another thing too. The only adult size shoes so far that we know of is the yellow ones. The others are kid sizes.
That makes no sense. The pink ones are high tops, which are cool. And the blue and red ones and the yellow ones just look like normal sneakers.
I'm passing. I wear $25 black slip-on shoes. I'm not fancy. I'm not wearing these. I'm cheapskate.
Okay, so that was all our news.
2 minutes into the episode.
So we're not even going to bother with a commercial break this episode. And we're going to go right on to the reviews.
Woo!
Alrighty, so today we will be reviewing episode 7 and 8 of... Okay, so on to episode 7, Stego Search, written by Guy Langford and directed by Michael Hurst. On to the brief synopsis, which is brief, by the way.
It's actually brief this time, you guys. It's not a lie.
I made it a paragraph.
I'm so proud of you, sweetie.
I know, I tried my hardest to just be simple and to the point. Because I honestly felt like I was just repeating what I was saying in the characters sections of this stuff. So I was like, okay, make like 3 or 4 sentences for the brief synopsis. And then we can expand beyond that in those character sections. On to the brief synopsis. So in this episode, Javi wants to vibe with his guitar in the park. But his douchebag dad, Warden Garcia, ain't having it and swipes it. Meanwhile, Boom Tower ain't having being weak anymore. So he swipes the sporks from Void Knight's collection to fight the dinosaurs. A few rangers and successfully injures Idzi. Thankfully for Javi, Selmon discovers his Stego spike sword activates whenever he plays an instrument, so he whips out his whistle. And the Stego Spike Sword comes a column, with the Dino Fury Rangers forming the Dino Fury Megazord Spike Formation to take down Boom Terror, but don't destroy him. That's for next episode. And the episode ends with the Dino Fury Rangers vibing at Blood Blast to some music.
You guys see how brief that was?
So on to the not so brief stuff. Character focus and elements. Javi, his music, and his Zord.
Oh, nice. Let's see how you play.
All right, so after 3 whole episodes of saving up, Javi finally got his guitar.
Good for him.
Which cost $900.
In New Zealand dollars, honey.
Pine Ridge isn't in New Zealand unless they use New Zealand currency in Pine Ridge for some reason.
Okay, hold on. Is a keytar actually $900? Hold on.
I think people on Amazon found that exact keytar and it was like $350.
You are correct. $900, he got his ass ripped off, bitch.
And BuzzPass must pay well if he's able to afford a $900 keytar so fast.
I know, right?
So he's like vibing in the forest, living his synth life, while passersby start dancing and singing. D-Bag Garcia then comes in and ruins all the fun. Takes his guitar rip. It's mating season for the birds.
Fuck the birds. I'm trying to vibe here, sir.
So that gets him in a funk. Not even the news of Solon fossily finding his Zord makes him feel better. He's like, oh, you found my Zord? I want my keytar. After Idzi tries to see what's up, they're ambushed by Boom Tower and Idzi is injured, making him feel even worse. It really isn't his day today.
Poor baby.
Solon then comes up to the conclusion that Javi playing music aligns with his ranger energy and is slowly waking up the Stego Spike Sword. So Javi goes into the woods playing his whistle. Sang.
Here, Zordy Zordy. Come to Javi.
Like it's a freaking dog.
Come to daddy.
So it wakes up, combines with the Dino Fury Megazord to form the Dino Fury Megazord Spike Formation. And it looks like it destroyed Boom Tower, but he just shrinks for some reason.
Yeah, that was weird.
The team then surprises Javi by buying him another guitar, with them all chipping in. I'm like, how the hell does Sato have money to chip in.
What is Zaito doing? He doesn't have a job.
I mean, he tried to get Buzz Blast's job, but no Chihuahua.
Shut up.
So Javi gets to vibe again. So yeah, this was a good character piece for Javi. We got to see his love of music, how it's layered to different types of instruments. One day he might be in a guitar mood. One day he might be in a whistle mood. And maybe one day he's in a harmonica mood.
That's cool because that keeps his interest in music always fresh.
D-Bag Garcia just doesn't get it.
No. God, I hate him so much.
Speaking of D-Bag Garcia, let's talk about his ass.
That's more than enough. You're disturbing the birds in this park. It's nesting season.
I hate him.
So D-Bag Garcia continues to be an obsessive parent. He takes Javi's guitar away that he paid for.
How did you afford that thing?
You know, they do kind of pay me for my job at Buzz Blast.
Seriously, Javier, I'm going to do you a favor and get you your money back.
Hey, you didn't pay for that, you fucking asshole. Javi did with his own money.
He paid for it with his own damn money he got from his own damn job. He's like, I'm going to take this back for you, get your money back. Excuse me. Off. Just because you're his dad doesn't mean you get the right to do that shit, you douchebag. You make Commander Shaw look like a puppy dog, honestly.
Yeah, for real. It's because he's kind of a cop. That's why.
Well, I mean, it was written that way at first.
It shows.
I mean, there are shades where you can kind of frame it by maybe him being concerned with him changing instruments constantly, but who cares?
The way he's so supportive of Izzy, and then he turns around as a douchebag to Javi, pisses me off.
For no reason.
No reason.
Both of his kids, he treats them on two different sides of the spectrum. Izzy's like, oh, you do whatever you want, girl. Just win. And then Javi, it's like, oh, I'm returning this fucking guitar.
Music. Trash.
Oh my god. And I didn't even mention this yet. When Izzy and Javi get attacked by Boom Tower and Izzy gets injured.
Javier, what's going on? What happened?
A monster attacked us. We were trapped, but the Black Power Ranger saved us just in time. I tried to protect her.
Then why is Isabella hurt, but you're fine? Come on. You didn't try hard enough.
But Dad. Dad, you don't understand.
Warden Garcia fucking berates Javi.
He's like, oh, why didn't you do more?
Yeah, he straight up says,
I'm about to punch him in the fucking jaw.
Who says that to their kid?
Right? Someone who wants their kid to be traumatized?
They were attacked by a monster. Even if you don't know they're rangers, what is he supposed to do? Be a meat shield?
Yes.
He's really making it apparent that Izzy's his favorite. Treated like garbage.
Garbage. We got it.
On to Boom Tower Power.
Hello, sports.
Whoa! The power level went down. Someone's gonna be in trouble.
Yes, but it won't be me. With the power of the Sporex, I'll reach my maximum strength. And finally, destroy the Rangers.
So Boom Tower has had it.
Shelly.
With waiting for Void Knight to upgrade him, so he takes it upon himself to take one of Void Knight's Sporks eggs, don't mind if I do, to make him more powerful, and damn, he fucking clobbers the Rangers.
Yeah.
To the extent of breaking Izzy's arm. The only reason why Boom Tower doesn't demolish the rest is due to Void Knight coming to stop him, because he took one of his precious Sporks. He grows giant later on, talking Void Knight into letting him keep the Sporks egg and sign him to destroy the Dino Fury Rangers, and nearly does until Javi comes in with his new Zord, with Boom Tower hilariously saying before he blows up,
you think that's enough to stop me? I am. Wait, it is!
Well, not this episode.
Well, yeah. He survives, because you still have one more episode of footage to use, so Boom Tower lives to see another day.
Good for him? Question mark?
On to the Sporks Beast of the Week. There is none. Keeping the Sporks egg tally, Rangers 3, Void Knight 2. So on to character moments. Up first is Zaddy Zaito. Zaito has some goofy moments in this episode. First, when Izzy called him about Boom Tower attacking, being witty as usual, he says,
Boom Tower's throwing a punch party in the city!
Thanks for the invite. I'll bring some friends.
When Javi goes in for a fist bump, Zaito covers it with his palm.
That was so cute.
It's the little things, honestly.
Didn't Charlie do that? Chase went in for like a fist bump and Riley went in for a high five.
Oh, they did.
My Charlie beating heart.
When Javi is jamming on his new keytar, we see Zaito dancing and it's the corniest shit. I guess people from RAFCON can't dance.
I mean, if I didn't know any better, I would say that Zaito's dancing like a white boy.
I was gonna say that. onto Ali Pali.
He's there.
I guess he chipped in to fund Javi's new guitar, so yay.
Again, with what money? He doesn't have a job that we know of.
I mean, I guess he could get an allowance from his mama, Kana.
She's a fucking explorer. I know she's not raking in the bucks.
Onto Amelia Bedelia. Amelia does have a funny moment with Solon when she asks,
"What's the hap, Solon?"
"I don't know what that means."
I would die for Solon.
Oh yeah, she's great. Amelia also has some back and forth with Zecho when she calls Javi salty. He says salty like those potato chips.
Oh god.
Amelia wasn't wrong when she suggested getting them a teen slang dictionary.
If there is a Christmas special for Dino Fury and they exchange gifts, she should get him a teen dictionary.
Oh yes, that would be glorious. I love that.
That would be so cute.
On to Izzy Azalea. Izzy kind of has a one-to-one with Javi when he said that the warden took his guitar.
Sitting sadly on a park bench. Very original, bro. Everyone's worried about you. What's wrong? Dude, it's me. What's up? It's not the dishes, is it? Last night was definitely your turn to dry them, so I just...
I do like their dynamic and like that Javi doesn't resent her for the warden's favoritism over her.
That would be easy.
Because with most relationships like that, where one parent favors a kid over another, you usually get resentment. And I'm kind of glad Javi doesn't resent Izzy for all the favoritism Warden Garcia gives him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially since she's the stepkid and he's the biological kid.
Which makes no sense to me still. The fact that the stepkid is prioritized over his biological kid. All right.
She gets injured in the fight with Boom Tower, breaking her arm in the process, which kind of surprised me. When was the last time someone got injured to the extent of having to get an arm brace?
I don't know. Power Rangers come out pretty unscathed. They can fall off a skyscraper and just have some rubble rubbed up on their arm and that's it.
Little dirty faces.
Just stuff they can brush off. They're like, eh, I'm fine.
Yeah, so she's pretty much written out of the rest of the episode. And we see her at the end with a cast on her arm. But she still has to go to school. Nuts! Alright, on to Solong. Solon. Yeah, we got nicknames for everybody here.
We ain't leave nobody out, Heaney.
Yeah, you said this one came from Booksmart, right?
Yes. I'll put in the clip right here.
We made special names for all this stuff. Great deal of care was taken.
Well.
Chips and Saul Solong High School.
Alrighty, so Solon's main gig of the episode is to look for the Stego Spike Sword using the machine she mentioned in episode 5 and deducts that Javi playing his whistle was waking up from its resting place. Because I guess ranger energy nonsense. Because in episode 5, when Izzy found the Tiger Claw Zord when she was running, I guess it connects to your hobbies and what you feel most comfortable doing.
I love that.
I kind of wish the other three kind of did that. What's the fucking Tricera Blade gonna do? Wake up because Ollie's doing science things.
If Ollie was being a dick, Zora's just like, oh, hey, girl.
Yeah, that's your favorite thing to do, shit on Amelia. She also has a funny line when Javi questions the effects of the music waking up the Stegosaurus by saying,
stop questioning it and play, my boy, play.
So on to Jane and Jayborg, which you haven't given nicknames yet.
They're kind of a joke themselves, so.
True, they don't need nicknames. I do love them, though, but they don't need nicknames.
No.
Jane was rocking some Willy Wonka realness this episode and spit some sweet rhymes in the park during Javi guitar jam session in the park.
The name is Jane and I move fast. I don't miss a beat and I won't come last. Talking business, making deals. I do it all and I keep it real.
Jayborg was sporting some Leia buns this episode and we see that she's programmed with different vocal styles but isn't programmed to dance.
How could she be programmed to sing but not dance? They kind of go together.
Yeah, you would think. But I mean, this is something from Overdrive we're talking about. When does anything in that season make sense?
This is true.
And the episode ends with them vibing at Buzzblast with the rest of the gang, with Jane telling Jayborg to fight her coding and dances, but ends with her pretty much spinning to the floor where it gets to the point where they're at the water main and the water main explodes and it's all in their face. Ha 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 ha, hilarity ensues.
Maybe don't tell a robot to fight their coding and do something against your wishes. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's like the start of every sci-fi robot takeover the world movie.
Yeah, we don't need Terminator with Jayborg.
Oh my god, wait, could you imagine though?
Hasta la vista, baby. I do kind of hope we get an episode where she turns evil. That would be cool.
That would be interesting. I would like to see it.
All right, on to Ms. Void Knight. Void Knight shows up in the middle of Boom Tower's fight with the Garcia Sibs to berate Boom Tower for stealing one of his Sporix.
Boom Tower! How dare you steal one of my precious Sporix!
I told him not to do it!
Quiet! You're both coming with me!
Yes, sir!
I need that for something that we'll talk about next episode.
On to a baby Mucus. Mucus adorably asks,
what's wrong, Boomy?
Boomy.
Well, he's all down and out about him not being powerful enough and tries to warn Boom Tower not to take one of Void Knight's sporks because he knows what happens when that happens.
And Mew doesn't want Daddy Void Knight to get mad.
She does come to the fight with the Garcia Sibs, but of course, she hides behind the tree. Does Mucus.
Poor thing.
Honestly, I could probably do a whole compilation of Mucus hiding behind trees. There's a lot of them in the first 8 episodes alone.
Oh, yeah.
All right, on to final thoughts. This episode was a good character piece for Javi.
Mm-hmm.
It expands on his love of music and connects it to waking his Zord up, just like how the Tiger Claw Zord was found when Izzy was racing.
Uh-huh.
It also expands on his relation with his dad, which is toxic as fuck, and Izzy in a scene where you see they really do care for each other, even though Warren Garcia does play favorites.
Ugh, I hate his ass.
And lastly, Boom Tower gets to slay the house down boots till Javi gets his Zord. It was nice while it lasted for him, I guess.
Good for him. He's kind of generic.
I mean, he's kind of has a personality compared to some generic generals we've had in the past.
I guess. But it's still just 2 points above generic. Doesn't really scream memorable to me.
I mean, he's not a Ripcon, that's for sure.
He's not a Ripcon, but he's still just kind of forgettable.
Yeah, he also had, 4 or 5 episodes of screen time. Not really that much you can do with that little time.
Well, sister, I challenge you. Mucus first episode, obsessed.
True, but Mucus is also a baby, and you love your babies.
Well, she has a personality. A really big one.
Well, I mean, Boom Tower is just a dumb goof, I guess.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so on to the main event, episode 8, Unexpected Guest.
This is the main event, are you ready?
Written by Maya Thompson and directed by Michael Hirst.
Again.
On to the brief synopsis. After a fight with a Sporks beast, the Dino Fury Rangers meet Mick, who is currently on Earth chasing after the Ninja Nexus Prism. At first, Zato declines to help, but after a tussle with the Sporks beast, Wolfgang, to decide to help. That was easy. After finding its location and Zeta reading its mind, giving us some great lore bits, Boom Tower shows up with Wolfgang to obtain the prism for Void Knight, but are hindered thanks to some help from Mick. They both grow, but are destroyed by the Dino Fury Megazord Warrior Formation, with both the Nexus Prism and Mick leaving Earth. Oh, and Void Knight's secret room is shown too.
Yes!
Alrighty, so on to character focus and elements. Up first, the return of Mick Kanek.
Howdy, Rangers. Hi, bird guy. It is a huge privilege to meet you all. I am Mechanic.
I think you mean a mechanic?
No, 2 words. Mick Canic.
My name is Mick Canic because I'm a mechanic.
Get it? I think this was actually the first time his full name was said to. I don't think it was ever said in Ninja Steel. I think it was just on the website.
That's so stupid.
Alrighty, so Mick, the best character from Ninja Steel, comes back to Earth this episode, which kind of contradicts the Super Ninja Steel finale because he stayed on Earth, but I guess he left due to boredom, which I can kind of understand because that team is a snooze fest.
I mean, yeah, I don't blame you, King.
I can't even remember one thing Haley did that wasn't just about her dog.
Or Calvin.
And his truck. They fucked in that truck.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, I think it was Cam because they got comment.
What?
Remember in the Shattered Grid little story that they kind of talked about, like, he woke up screaming.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's something.
Yeah, I guess they canonically fucked because that was written by Beck and Allen, too.
Anyway,
he reveals himself to the Dino Fury Rangers after showing up to them as a bird for some reason.
Live your life, I guess, Vic. Like, okay.
I mean, he's from the Lion Galaxy, and their thing is that they can shapeshift into anything, so I guess he just wanted to show off.
Oh, wait, anyone there can shapeshift?
Yeah, because we saw Princess Viera in an episode, and she turned into a cape or something when she came up.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you don't remember.
I don't. Oh, sure, yeah. Oh, sure. Rita, sure.
He asks for help in finding the Nexus Prism, which has recently returned to Earth, but De Sato says, no!
No!
We're too busy practicing for nationals!
I did not!
So he sneaks into Buzz Blast disguised as a package, revealing Buzz Blast is on Shortland Street, which is also a little Easter egg for the soap opera Shortland Street, which is a New Zealand soap opera.
Fun.
But J-Borg ain't having it and tries to kick him out, but he turns into a basketball to bounce out. Wolfgang then just shows up out of nowhere and tries to catch him, but he turns into a toy car to escape. Whew! Mick is sure using those shape-shifting powers a lot. He did more in this episode than he did in all of Ninja Steel, and that was 44 episodes.
Watching Ninja Steel, I forgot that he could even shape-shift, because what, we saw him turn into a mop in the premiere and that was it?
He turned into a mop, turned into a rock in episode 2. He turned into a skeleton, I think, in episode 3.
I mean, him turning into a rock was just kind of a foresight into what Ninja Steel was going to be. Boring. What's great about a rock? It's like Charlie Brown getting a rock. He's like, I got a rock. So Ninja Steel was, we got a rock.
But we got Beast Morphers after that, so I guess that made up for it.
Sure.
Mick then teleports to Dino Hinge with the Dino Fury Rangers, helping each other, I guess, with the team finding the prism, and Milk helping fight by making a no-hell drop. I guess he's a cook now.
I'm a chef. Me when I make top ramen.
Fact. Mick then leaves Earth in a space taxi, and we actually see it this time. I was actually happy to see that. And then Austin, rewatching the episode, is like, who cares?
You were so obsessed with that.
Because he was talking about it a lot, and you just, I'm like, when am I going to see the space taxi? I mean, it's just a taxi. I'm like, I just want to see it!
Well, it's a taxi in space, Ray. What do you think it's going to look like?
I know, but I just want to see it, damn it! After the Nexus prism leaves Earth, and he say he'll continue to follow it and maybe open up a steakhouse in the Lion Galaxy.
Get it!
Which is a meta joke because Kelson Henderson actually owns a steakhouse. Wink, wink.
I mean, I do like that the writers are kind of clever and winking, and sure, that's fun.
Also, Mick talks about having a legendary Ranger database on hand. It's probably mine.
Fuck off.
Alrighty, so on to the Nexus Prism and its lore-filled origins.
I see beings deep in the past. The Morphin Masters. Using the grid, they created mystical artifacts to power teams of Rangers. They made the prism.
The Nexus Prism, the sugar mama of Ninja Steel. That bitch was handing out weapons and Zords and all, you can name it, like every single episode. So yeah, it's the sugar mama of Ninja Steel.
Need to get me a freak like that.
Returns to Earth for an unknown reason. It just dives in the Pine Ridge Bay and leaves. Bye.
Bye.
So I assume the reason for that is that the gold Dino Fear Ranger is in stasis underwater, since his Zord is a Mosasaur, which is an underwater dinosaur. So the Ninja Nexus Prism was either checking up on him or woke him up. Zeta would read its mind, because Miss Prism is sentient.
Miss Prism.
And thanks to that, we get some great lore building and backstory for the Nexus Prism. Something we didn't get in Ninja Steel, by the way.
Ooh!
We hear about legends. Oh, the legends once spoke about the Nexus Prism. I'm like, who's telling these stories?
What legends? That was so frustrating.
What legend? You can't spend 5 minutes telling us where it came from. It just floated into space one day and just landed on Earth. Thanks! Too busy fucking filming episodes about King Victor and Money farting up a storm. Tell us where the fucking prism came from.
Well, we all know that that was more important. Who needs lore? Who needs plot?
Thanks, Abon. So the Morphomasters, specifically the red one and the green one, created the Nexus Prism to aid in the fight against evil and fight in space for millions of years. It was just floating there, just spinning, spinning, spinning. Somehow got Ninja Steel wrapped around it and just landed on Earth one day in the graces of Earth's greatest ninja. My ass. I still can't believe that was a thing.
Earth's greatest ninja? Some random white dude?
On a farm! He's a ninja that just works on some random farm. What the fuck?
I thought it was a ranch.
Ranch, farm, whatever. It's the same set they use for Riley's Ranch at Dino Charge.
Yeah.
However, we didn't just get a backstory for the Nexus Prism. We also learned that the Morphin Masters also created the Dino Gems from Dino Thunder and the Energems from Dino Charge. So that's two power sources that also never got an origin story, making three out of the four Dino Powers created by the Morphin Masters. How about that? Also, we can assume that the Morphin Masters could have also created other power sources lacking backstories, like maybe the Quasar Sabers. Maybe they just one day, one of the Morphin Masters were just flinging swords into a rock on Mirinoi. Could be possible. And possibly the Ranger Keys, because how the fuck did Gosei get those keys?
There's a simple explanation for that.
Yep, the Morphin Masters did it.
I guess so.
Period.
I guess the go-to for everything that you have a question for is the Morphin Masters did it. Also, the Morphin Masters were also revealed to have been watching the events of every season up to this point. So that was a big Netflix binge, I guess, before they got taken off Netflix. Including seeing Steel die, which could be a wider explanation on how Steel was brought back to life as a human, which would also explain other plot holes in the PRU, like how did Kendricks come to life? Morphin Masters did.
I just want to ask, who directed this episode?
Michael Hurst.
Michael Hurst had the audacity to make me watch that clip of Steel dying again. He had the audacity. That is just too fucking much.
Thanks for that.
Ugh, hate to see it.
Alrighty, next topic. Boom Tower goes boom!
A bunch of fossils. Don't scare me.
Bye, sweaty.
Boom Tower, trying to make up for his failures from last episode, volunteers to get the Nexus Prism for Voynight, but Voynight says,
"How will you get me the prism now? I'll do it. And with that Sporex still powering me up, I'll even destroy the Rangers while I'm at it." "Very well. But if you fail, don't come back." "Fine, but I get the dog."
What dog? You better not mean fucking Mucus. I'll kick your ass.
No, Mucus is the baby. I think he means Wolfgang.
Oh.
So yeah, Boom Tower fights the Dino Fury Rangers, grows, and is destroyed by the Dino Fury Megazord Warrior Formation. Pour one out for old Boomy.
Oh my god.
I liked Boom Tower overall. He has some good one-liners and moments.
He was okay.
Yeah, but his Sentai counterpart dies early on, so I see why he bit the dust so fast. That only means she gets the gay with the hat general soon.
Oh, right. Is that the Campbell Cooley one?
The one we hope is Campbell Cooley.
Oh, right.
Using his Cosmo voice.
Please.
Alrighty, on to the next topic. Void Knight secrets revealed.
This is all taking too long! We need to move faster! Be smarter!
Ooh, the tea?
Ready for some hot tea? Like always, Void Knight gets mad about not having enough sporks to power his mysterious machine and goes inside the secret room. But this time, we actually get a peek of what's inside, which is a woman floating in a stasis pod, which Void Knight refers as his love.
"Please forgive me. There's been another setback. I know you're impatient. We both are. But I promise it won't be long. Whatever the cost, we'll be together again soon, my love."
So yeah, I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah, I mean, I was not expecting heterosexual nonsense, but I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be a room where he took his
helmet off. Yeah.
It makes him more deep that he has a goal that isn't just universal conquest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool. He's totally pulling a Mr. Freeze, though, because that's straight up from Batman and Robin. I kind of want Mucus to get a little jealous when she sees the pod and just pulls it. Oh my god,
that would be so funny.
And just pulls the poison ivy and says,
"As I told Lady Freeze when I pulled her plug, this is a one-woman show.
Void Knight is mine.
He's my daddy."
Her name is Santura, by the way, which was revealed in the credits.
That's interesting. I kind of hate when stuff is revealed in credits. You couldn't just say that. He could have been like, "My love name." Or something.
"My love, Santura."
Or be like, "My lovely Santura."
That would have been good. Also, Santura, that sounds like a spacey name, so she's an alien. I mean, we assume Void Knight's an alien, too.
I'm sure Void Knight is also from Rafcons.
Well, she didn't have horns or antennas.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So maybe she's from another planet.
But they're retractable, so.
Oh, true, true, true. You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
I assume Santura will probably get resurrected by the end of the season and maybe become twisted because Void Knight's kind of doing a deal with the devil thing where he's using an evil power source to bring her back. So maybe that'll make her evil too.
Ooh, yeah.
So maybe season two, she'll be a fierce human lady villain.
I would like to see it. Give me Roxy 2.0, honey.
Ooh, yes. I mean, we've only seen her in a stasis pod so far, but I hope she can act. Oh, and Void Knight finally got to sit in that damn throne. About damn time.
Only took like
8 episodes. Alrighty, so the Sporks Beasts of the Week, or should I say Sporks Beasts of the Week? First up is Doomsnake.
How about we cut to the chase, Rangers?
Voiced by Steve Lyons in his first Power Rangers role. Doomsnake is shown at the very beginning of the episode, doing exactly what Austin said the show should do in our last episode.
Uh-huh.
We can have an ESPN over here. And is destroyed instantly by the Dino Fury Megazord Blade formation, because then nabs his Sporks egg off screen.
Yeah, I kind of figured they would start doing something like this.
Why did they make a toy of this monster if it's just going to be in the episode 2 seconds? That makes no sense.
That is strange. What was the other monster that got a figure?
Shockhorn. But Shockhorn was the first monster of the week, so that makes sense that he got a figure.
That makes sense.
On to Wolfgang.
I can smell your feet and your fear.
Voiced by Guy Langford, who wrote Stego Search. Wolfgang is first shown with Mika's and Void Knight watching the giant fight with Doomsnake, where he is ordered by Void Knight to essentially break apart the Dino Fury Megazord with his howl.
Ew, and Void Knight is like, mark your territory. And it's like, what, you want him to piss on the Megazord? Like, what a weird line. That was so weird.
I guess wolves mark their territory, but they don't usually do it by howling.
They do not. They do it by pissing, because wolves are essentially dogs.
Also, I hope Salon had insurance on those things, which I guess they kind of do, because they're repaired by the end of the episode.
And they're fine.
Anyways, Wolfgang is then ordered to capture Mick and shows his furry power.
I'll show you furry power!
But fails and later fights the Dino Fury Rangers for the Nexus Prism with Boom Tower and nearly destroys the Dino Fury Rangers with his howl. But thankfully, Mick comes in with his no howl drops, making his voice super squeaky.
A beautiful voice! What have you done to me?
That is a no-howl drop. It quietens even the harshest bark.
You've ruined my singing career!
That was really funny, actually.
He grows afterwards and is destroyed after he jumps on the Dino Fury Megazord Warrior formation.
Well, I haven't seen Resoldier, but my theory is that shot was photoshopped. Because I'm sure that in Resoldier, he just jumped on the back of the Megazord, but they were holding the sword, and he just literally jumped onto the sword and killed himself.
Oh, maybe he was stabbed or something.
Well, yeah, you can tell they're holding the sword behind the Megazord, and he just jumps onto the back, so obviously he was stabbed by the sword, but I'm assuming they photoshopped out the sword, just so you don't see the blade going through him. I am curious, and I kind of want to see the original footage to see if I'm right or not.
So his Sporks egg is caught by Mucus, making the Sporks tally Dino Fury Rangers 4, Void Knight 3. All right, on to Zaddy Zato, who was a baddie Zato this episode.
Honestly.
He was kind of a douche this episode.
For no reason.
Mick just comes in asking for help with finding the Nexus Prism, and he's like, no!
No!
Want to know what it's up to. So I say, we team up to find out.
Well.
Whoa. I don't know you or this Nexus Prism, but we have urgent problems of our own. So we have no time to help you.
My bad. I'll stay out of your hair.
I get that you want to find out if Rafcon still exists, but there's no need to be a douchebag about it.
Yeah, for real.
I guess it's good that he apologized and at the end and said that he owes Mick an apology, and he straight up says, we don't owe you an apology. I owe you an apology. Good on you, Zato.
Sure. Still, it was douchey.
And it's so weird for Zato too, because he's never been douchey.
Feels so out of character to me.
You know, like maybe if Ollie did that.
Oh, that would be normal.
Yeah, that'd be normal for Ollie.
Sorry, Ollie, we were a douchebag.
But Zato feeds us with that delicious lore from the Nexus Prism. So thank you, Zaddy Zato. Can I have another?
Thanks, King.
Alrighty, so Ollie Polly. So he gets some things to do in this episode. For one, he finally gets to use his special Zord formation, which gets ripped apart. He also gets crushed by some falling rocks. Oh, and he also gets to cluck like a chicken when he ate a no howl drop prototype. So yeah, everything's coming up roses for Ollie this episode. He got a lot to do.
Living large.
On to Amelia Bedelia. Amelia S. Sad because she got 4 assignments at Buzz Blast and none of them are paranormal. I want a paranormal story. No more paranormal. On to Izzy Azalea. When Zato is reading the Nexus Prism, she wants all that tea.
Dude, spill! What else is there?
When Boom Tower and Wolfgang teleport in to nab the Nexus Prism, she says,
oh great. It's the castle in Dog Breath.
When poor baby Mucus tries to nab the sporks inside Boom Tower, Izzy nabs it and then threatens poor Mucus.
Get the fuck out of here.
Onto Javi the Hottie. Javi's still working at Buzz Blast even though he has a key char. I guess it's good to have more than one of the Rangers working because Amelia's just working there. Would be a little weird for the entire team to just be hanging there all the time. Javi has a cute moment at the end where the Rangers are hungry. When he sees a know-how drop, he says,
"Oh look, there's candy."
Onto Solon, Solon. Solon is pretty much Mick's bestie this episode. His mentors appreciating mentors. She offers up the Dino Hinge kitchen, which reveals there's a kitchen in Dino Hinge, which is kind of weird.
Bitches need to eat.
Yeah, but how are you going to get groceries? Are you just going to have them delivered? How do you get them delivered?
I'm sure she evolved with the times, because probably 65 million years ago, she was just going out and eating stuff.
What was she doing as time went on?
I don't know. I kind of enjoy thinking about her just appearing at a grocery store and no one says anything. She just goes grocery shopping.
Oh yeah, because she can teleport.
Oh my god, wait, I really want a flashback of her just walking around a grocery store grocery shopping.
How does she grab those though with her little stubby arms?
Or maybe she'll be like, "Excuse me, sir, can you reach that up there for me?"
"Excuse me, young chap, I need a can of beans that are on that top shelf. Can you grab them for me? Thank you."
That's what I want now, I've decided.
Yeah, at least fan art shit. If anyone's listening out there that can draw, how about you draw some of that, please, and we'll retweet it. All right, so she offers Mick the kitchen for the know-how drops, and they get a snack too, because they're hungry.
"Do you have a kitchen?"
"Well, yes, but why a kitchen?"
"Ah, because I have an idea. Also, I'm hungry."
Same.
She then helps Mick snap the Dinofury Rangers out of the effects of the know-how drops because they all eat know-how drop prototypes and they're all making like various animal noises. So she scares them by using her natural voice, which is just a terrifying dino scream.
That was actually low-key scary. It's like, okay, bitch, no, not to fuck with you.
The CGI was pretty good too.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so on to Jean and Jayborg. So yeah, those two have short and sweet shenanigans this episode, which is surprising. Because Jane's actually features a cake, and you know what happens with cakes in this show.
Ugh, they fall into them.
I mean, they did it last season, 3 times in an episode. All right, so Jane is just filming a video for Bud Blast where she's frosting a cake, and you think it's going to end up where you think it's going to go, but it doesn't. Mick turns into a basketball, and it bounces off the cake, and she gets a little frosting on her. That's it, moving on. And Jayborg tries to help her because she has 2 steady hands. On to baby Mucus. So Mucus starts off the episode with a good one-liner after Doomsnake is destroyed when she says,
"That was Doomsnake? More like Doomed Snake."
She speaks the truth.
Mucus then gets her sneaky sneak on behind some trees and informs Voynet about the Nexus Prism. Ew. Mucus fucking slayed and capturing Sporks this episode. She got 2 out of 3. Which ain't bad.
2 out of 3, bing.
I knew you were gonna say that. I mean, I wrote it that way just so you'd say it, so. Good on you for getting it.
How could I not?
So she got Doomsnakes after he was destroyed. She also got Wolfgangs, and does so by using a fucking baseball mitt to catch it.
That was so cute. Oh my god.
And fucking hilarious. I was like laughing for like a minute after I saw that.
It's so cute.
But poor thing though, because Wolfgang's destroyed and she was gonna have him sing at her birthday party.
It's okay, I'll sing at your birthday party.
When is her birthday, by the way?
She better have a birthday party in this now, because you mentioned it. And they said everything gets payoff, so I want payoff for her birthday party.
Yeah, even if it's just Void Night and Mucus just have a little tea party in the Area 62.
I asked for so little.
She was going to get the third one, but fucking Izzy had to push her and threaten violence. Stop the violence.
Why are you threatening violence against a baby? Where are your priorities, Izzy?
However, Mucus getting 2 fucking sporks in one episode isn't enough for Void Knight, and he yells at her to do better while he goes and coddles his dead girlfriend in a tube, with Mucus saying,
"Hey, wait up! Oh, fair enough. He def
definitely need some alone time.
He does.
Yeah, for about 4 or 5 months, give or take.
Oh my god, that'll be so funny. Okay, episode 9 shoves back and Void Knight. The first scene is Void Knight coming out of his room and Mucus is like, finally, was 5 months enough alone time?
I would love that. We're at the point where it's kind of obvious where we're gonna end with the hiatus. It's always 8 episodes. So if they put that scene in episode 9, that would be good. I would love that. Alrighty, so on to final thoughts. So we got a good usage of good characters from a not-so-good season. Yeah, so Mick. Good character in a bad season, but you used him well. Expands on unexplained lore by giving us answers and connections to the Morphin Masters. Love it. Gives a good ending for Boom Tower. Bye-bye. Gives us some hooks to sink our teeth into during the hiatus. What was the Nexus Prism looking for in that bay? And what's the deal with Void Knight and the Tube Lady?
What is that about?
So yeah, that's the end of episode 8, and it's hiatus time.
No,
don't worry folks, we'll have plenty of content for you for the hiatus. We got a lot of shit planned. We've got rankings, we've got retrospectives, we got something else in the works that we're gonna give you next episode.
Yeah,
look out for those. Alrighty, so that is the end of our episode. Morphin Masters did it. Time to plug it in. Austin, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at the Ranger T, being snarky and talking shit about the 2017 Power Rangers movie.
And you can follow me at _Shattery22 and check out the Morph Legacy database, all updated with the most recent information from the comics and Dino Fury. Alrighty, so that's it. We'll see you next week for another episode of The Grim, but until then, everybody say bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been a Morphin Legacy production, bitches.